This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Steve Stone.
I don't know if the organization is even aware of a former farmhand who tweeted over the weekend about Andrew's work habits.
Oh, White Sox Twitter.
I don't know Tyler Osik, but some harsh words about Andrew Vaughn's offseason approach.
Well, I don't know Tyler Osik. I didn't see that particular tweet, but apparently Tyler didn't make it. So not that that is necessarily a yardstick for tweeting. As we know, some things, and I know this is going to shock you guys, some things that are tweeted actually aren't particularly accurate. I don't know if this one is.
Yeah, I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Stoney, how excited are you that Nancy Faust is going to be back in the ballpark this spring and summer?
I think she's terrific. I didn't check, but did Tyler Osik tweet about her at all? Maybe she didn't work as hard in the wintertime as she usually did.
Yeah. Jerry, I love this guy. Always coming up with these great lines. I love him. He's wonderful. You're wonderful. I don't know what I'd do without you.
You're a great radio teammate, Stoney. We should have hipped you to that before we tossed it at you live. I'll go ahead and let people behind the curtain.
That's terrific. But I have really curtailed my tweetosphere. Personally, I think it's net negative because I can't see the advantages of it for people putting out content. And, you know, if you're putting out content all the time, then you're really not getting anything back except a lot of negativity. Doesn't matter what you say, but you're going to have, you know, 20 people attack you. And then if you try to defend that, then you have 20 more attack you, and just It's a law of diminishing returns.
I've got 12 million followers. I don't know who's following me. They can be following me without me knowing, right? Choose to read my tweet and then take that personally. That's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons, and you go, but I don't want guitar lessons. There's a number here. All right, all that, right? Are you giving me guitar lessons? Yeah. I don't want any. It's not for you then. Just walk away. Don't worry about it.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Hear, hear. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Tanny is on the mend. Sean Sears was just kind of hanging around, and Ryan Porth was like, do you want to produce the afternoon show today?
Tanny was at Disney World, not Disneyland. No one would make that mistake. Nobody.
Well, the listeners did help us with that. An easier way to remember it is Disney LA Land.
Uh-huh.
Disney World, O-R-L, Orlando.
It's almost probably by design.
I would imagine that there is some design that goes with it. So Sean Sears is flying the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Kuhn is in charge of the show. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. So Tanny caught a bug down there, unsurprisingly. We've got an action-packed baseball show with Nico Horner coming up and Carter Hawkins coming up. And Nancy Faust later on, man.
Hell yeah.
We get to hang out in the musical world of the 41-year White Sox organist who is coming back for 6 Sundays. She's going to be on this show at 5 o'clock. Can't wait for that.
That's exciting. And I know that there are a lot of, you don't even have to be a White Sox fan to understand the impact of Nancy Faust. I think she is widely regarded as an innovator and one of the best that's ever done this.
100% true.
So it's going to be great to ask her about this and how it all came about and her being part of the 125-year celebration of White Sox baseball. I'm glad that she was up for it, you know, and it's she's an icon. So being able to talk to her, I think, is really, really dope. And we are going to have a conversation with Carter Hawkins at 3:30. Looking forward to picking his brain on a lot of different subjects.
Absolutely. But you ask people what they want to know from Carter Hawkins, and it's pretty much, when is Cade Horton coming up? And is it this weekend? And if not, why not? People want to know or if that guy's coming.
How much money y'all got in the couch? And why haven't you given it to Kyle Tucker yet?
See, Jeff Passan wrote today that Kyle Tucker is the next $500 million player.
We've been talking about this.
I know. He had one guy who's the next $600 million player. He had to figure out somebody to guess, and it was Gunnar Henderson. He doesn't see anybody getting to 600 again until Henderson.
Well, maybe it's PCA.
Dude. Yeah. Joe Posnanski wrote about PCA today, gave him his National League MVP vote 1 month in. You know, it's like that guy is everywhere. So looking forward to talking to Carter. It's a big baseball day, though. It's May the 6th. Happy birthday in absentia to the late Willie Mays, 94 years old he would be if he were alive today.
Some would argue the greatest player who's ever lived.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy birthday to Herb Spiegel. My dad, the archetypal baseball fan of my life, age 92, is Herb Spiegel.
Some would argue he's the best dad that you've ever had.
Tops. Absolutely number one. And one of the great baseball fans of all time. And happy 27th anniversary to the Kerry Wood game. So May 6th always kind of hits me in multiple ways. Obviously,
some would argue the greatest game ever pitched.
You could still argue it is the greatest game ever pitched.
Still the best score, right?
I think it is the best Bill James game score for a nine-inning game still. A 105 for a nine-inning game. It was his fifth start ever. He was 20 years old. That Astros team would go on to win 102 games and lead the National League in scoring. They were the highest scoring team in the National League. And somebody just posted his first inning. And just as a reminder, he couldn't find the plate in the bullpen. Threw 50 pitches, couldn't find the plate. His first pitch hit the umpire in the face mask. And he's like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. And then he struck out Craig Biggio on what Craig Biggio still says is the worst swing of his major league career. He strikes out Derek Bell, who was leading the league in hitting at the time. And then he struck out Jeff Bagwell, future Hall of Famer. So that's how that
the
day
killer
started.
Bees.
Yeah. Yeah. He took care of all three of those guys. Gave up one hit. He hit a batter. And that was it. Can you imagine striking out 20 at age 20?
No.
Just insane, man.
So I connect with this too, because in 2 days will be my scoreversary, like when I was hired in 1998.
May 8th, 1998.
Yep. You're right. That is the right expression to have, Alex. Too long. Too long.
And that's why Lawrence is taking this moment.
It's impressive, Lawrence.
That's why I'm announcing. No.
Montreal
right
is
in the middle of the home run chase.
Montreal is not going to know what hit them.
They're not. But one of the first things that I did as a score producer, May 8th, 1998, was archive that game. Because you know how it was, and these guys know how it is. Like the part-time producer who gets hired usually has the tedious job to do.
Yeah.
So my job was go archive all of this stuff. So, and I was like, fine.
What does that mean? The highlights themselves? Did you put it on a reel-to-reel tape from cassette?
Yeah, we did reel-to-reel. We did cassette to reel-to-reel.
Uh-huh.
Or I guess VHS to... I think it was VHS to...
Might have been three-quarter inch tape.
To reel to reel.
Okay.
And somewhere in Ron Gleason's office after he retired, there's a reel to reel of that game that I archived. And you like that ninth inning, like all that stuff.
That's amazing. Just for context, Tanny has the entire 2016 Cubs season on one hard drive. He's got that just sitting
right
over here on a hard drive.
Because that's how far we've come.
Yes.
And we were joking, Speegs and I, because we're old, and our buddy Matt Fishman was here in the Score studios today.
Fish!
We were talking about, for those who are old school scoreheads, we were talking about the days of cutting up tape, literally cutting up tape, mm-hmm, with a grease pen and a razor blade.
Right. So I love that. So your scoreversary connected to this day as well. And I still say it's the most... the most dominant I've ever seen in terms of a pitcher, and still the archetype for young fireballer dominating grown-ass men, and just the imagination that can run wild when a young phenom pitcher just kind of shows up and blows the whole league away.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And sometimes it's just a player that does that too. And that's very cool, like we're seeing with PCA. We'll talk about PCA with Nico Horner and talk about this Cubs team that's still in first place, is doing really, really well. We'll ask some thoughts on the Giants series next here on The Score.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Bounce to short. Swanson to Horner, one over to first. Call it to a double play. 6-4-3, inning-ending twin killing.
Chop to third. Charging birdie. Fields to second for one. Horner the turn to first, in time, double play, and Boyd works out of the jam.
Ground ball sharply hit, it's into right field, a base hit. Tucker scores, Bush at second base is chased back, but he's safe, and Nico Horner a two-out RBI.
Here comes the 0-2, bouncing ball to third, it's going to be gloved by Lopez, go to second, one over to first, that's a double play, and around the horn, twin killing.
Nico Horner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
It's a lot of fun for us. Nico now joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Last night's game was amazing because it was two different games. There was a really well-pitched game that went on for about 5.5 innings. And then things started to go sideways with the defense for the Giants. And how about the Cubs taking advantage of it and putting the game away in the sixth?
It felt like a team full of El Magos last night, making like the Giants pitchers crazy, didn't it?
Yes, there was a lot going on in last night's game, and our guy Nico Horner was in the middle of it. Nico, thanks for joining us as always. That was fun once it got fun. How did it feel for you guys last night?
Yeah, I mean, even before that, we played well. We had a 4-2 lead. A couple big swings from Ian and Dansby to get runs going, and Boyd pitched great. And then obviously there was one crazy Wrigley inning, and that was that.
Yeah, that guy Hayden Birdsong has been unbelievably good. And then last night, it wasn't even like he was terrible. It was just, but the speed and everything. You guys are so aggressive on the base paths that it seems to rattle even smart defensive teams sometimes. Are you aware of that when it happens? Can you feel that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, Pete's obviously at the heart of that, just with his preference of chaos, I guess. And then everyone just playing the game hard. I think, stolen bases often kind of get wrapped up as like the summary of, is the team good at base running? There's so much more to it than that. We haven't had as many steals in the last week or so, but that comes and goes just with game situations and pitchers and matchups. But the base running at the heart of it has been consistent throughout, so that's been great.
His preference of chaos. Oh, that's delicious.
It was on full display last night.
It absolutely was. But like, Nico, when you stole your base and Pete was on third, you know they're not going to bother to throw through, right? There's no chance they're going to do that with him having a lead off third base.
Yeah, there's some teams that do. Obviously there's a lot that goes into that behind the scenes. And as a base runner, you put a lot of trust in your coaches and the scouting and everything within that. But that was great because it led to a run. That's why it's so big that he could go first to third on, the short single I hit. And all those bases matter.
It's so funny because we're going to spend some time at 3 o'clock talking specifically about that. Because it was just beautiful. It was really beautiful baseball to watch. And as you single, his read on it was so great that he was able to get the extra 90 feet. And that can change, and it did. In the case of what happened in the fourth, it changed the way that inning worked because he took the extra 90.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all really impactful, and it might not feel like a big thing for a couple games, and then they'll have a moment like that where it's like, wow, that really changed the course of the game. And that's the kind of stuff over 6 months you keep hammering down and it makes a really big difference. And maybe it's a win or two, but as we know, that's a huge deal.
On that single that Lawrence is talking about, JD on the TV broadcast described it as Nico working hard to get the barrel on that ball. Like it was really far inside, but like, what do you do that? Are you moving the hands? Are you thinking about the barrel? Are you just moving the hands? Is it all instinct? What are you thinking about when you're like, you end up inside outing a pitch like that the other way for a hit?
I mean, he's a guy with heavy sink on his fastball and a guy that's easy to, he does a good job of getting righties on the ground. So I think, you know, especially with two strikes, it's comfortable seeing him deep and helps me control the zone with his full mix. But, you know, you don't go up there looking to hit a bloop single, but knowing that your misses can still be productive is a big deal.
You guys are leading baseball in run differential right now and plus 69. So look, there's a bunch of reasons why that's the case, including some of the things that you pointed out last night. Matthew Boyd has been really terrific for you. What do you think is the biggest reason why you guys are in this position of having a great run differential?
I think it speaks to just all parts of the group, right? It's a team stat. Not something players really focus on, but I think it is just a representation of consistency. Like, we've been able to get some leads and then really add on, and that's such a huge deal for how you save your bullpen. And all that stuff really adds up over the course of a season, and it does feel different to win a game, you know, 7-2 or 8-1 compared to 3-2 and 4-2, and as we've done for the last couple of years, it feels like.
You know, I'm riding the roller coaster, Nico. Like, yeah. I'm letting myself do it as a fan. Like, and we'll host shows, Lawrence and I, and I'll work on a Sunday, and I'll try to be all level-headed and stuff, but it's just so fun when a team when a team in this town is just this good. It's crazy fun. Do you ride it at all? Does it have any effect on you when you guys score 10 runs on a Friday night in Milwaukee? You know, like, does it have any effect on you, or are you trying to not ride the coaster like some of us Jamokes are?
No, of course it's fun, and it should be. It's a really hard sport to have success in. And, you know, I've been here for a little while now, and we've had some good moments in teams, but you work towards special things like this. And obviously the ultimate goal is a long way away, but, part of that is just enjoying the process of getting there. And I think we've got a group that's, capable of a lot, but also really fun to play with on a day-to-day. So, no, of course, it's incredible. And you can feel it when you show up to the ballpark. You see it in people's work. You see it in the crowd. Like, it all matters, and that energy is real.
What do you mean you see it in people's work? What do you mean?
I think there's a sense of winning and an expectation of success. I think you just there's a higher sense of confidence, higher expectation, better camaraderie. It's like kind of a chicken or the egg thing, right? Of like, does good chemistry make winning, or does winning make good chemistry? And I think it's a little bit of both. It's a good vibe around here right now. It's been impressive.
Nico Horner on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of the asterisk-free checking. More at Huntington.com/yourmoney. It's been so fun to watch as the season has gone on, where there have been these moments where, oh, well, look, Bushy's hot. Well, look at this. Carson Kelly's hot. PCA's hot. Nico's hot. Tucker's hot. And now Dansby Swanson is the guy that's got the flaming bat going on right now. And he struggled for a long time to start this season. How good is it for you guys that he's back into a place where he looks more comfortable at the plate?
It's a big deal. I think anytime there's extremes at the beginning of a season, it's always fully blown out of proportion. You know, you do that in the middle of June, and it's obviously it's noticeable, but it's just a part of the year instead of like, oh, is this who this person is? And it's all just mixed up together. But we feel that stuff as players too. So it's not surprising at all that Dansby swinging well, because that's what he's done his whole life, you know? So it's like, that's kind of where we're at as players mentally with it. But he's been great. His work has been awesome. And yeah, his power from the shortstop position and ability to change games around is such a big deal. That homer he hit off Skeens opposite field is so impressive and really got us going in that game, and a big win in the final day of a series there, and it's kind of taken off from there. It's been awesome.
So it's really easy for some of us to watch Dansby or watch anybody at the plate and be like, why doesn't he go the other way? Why doesn't he take that outside pitch and just, you know, take it to right field? And then Coomer said something the other day that people can think that's what they're doing and still not be doing it. And that like got me into a little bit of a mind bleep. Like, like, can you think that you're trying to protect the outside part of the plate, but still your default is to pull and you have to like, how does that work for a hitter?
Like, as far as what your intent is and
yeah,
not matching up with what's happening in the game?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, the best swings Dansby's hit to right center, he probably wasn't thinking that direction at all. He was just working on time, and the ball happened to go that way. A lot of times, I think when you're forcing things, it, not a whole lot of good comes out of it. And oftentimes, when we think opposite field, we're just late and playing defensive. You don't really have much room for error and the velocity we see anyway. So putting yourself late from the start isn't really too helpful a lot of the time. Someone who does that more than I'd like to. So, yeah.
That's interesting. So it's not about trying to go the other way. It's about just trying to be on time. And then sometimes it can look like you're going the other way.
100%. Yeah, I definitely feel that. And you could ask five guys, they'd have five different answers, but yeah.
We were having a conversation yesterday with Cliff Floyd, and we were talking about PCA and stardom and how to handle that. You know, how do you suggest that PCA handle all of the attention that he is deservedly getting, where people look up and he's noted as an MVP candidate and he's top three in WAR in baseball? How do you guys help him deal with that? And does he even need any help dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a pretty great situation in our clubhouse as far as the people that he has around him, and not that he needs a ton of help, but I think we got a nice combination of veterans and people that are pumped to see him succeed, but, you know, also give him a healthy amount of grief when he does things that are unique. And so it's all part of it, and it's part of the fun of a season. And if any suggestions from my end, it would just be to continue to be himself and continue to make the energy that he brings every day about winning and about the group. And he's done that and then some, just with his daily work, his actions. I mean, he's the first one in the cage, first one on the field doing early work. Like, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't see. And, you know, I hope that's not lost on people, all the work that he's done. Like, he is an incredible talent, but to improve this much at the major league level takes a ton of work, and it's not by chance. He's really earned that, and he's going to keep developing, and who knows what he can be.
How is he at taking the grief when you choose to?
He's great. I mean, just yesterday. I was thinking about yesterday when he dove for that ball, and he was immediately laughing afterwards, and you know, everyone was having a good time. We had like printed out pictures of it in the locker room and all that stuff. But that's also like, I think he's like, you got to be a little delusional, I think, to do special things as an athlete and like expect yourself to do the incredible. And I would way rather play with someone who's on that end of it than like who's cautious and nervous to make a mistake or something like that. So I love seeing that.
Oh man, that's awesome. Especially when you consider his talent. Like, I worry about him and Ian sometime in left center, because Pete thinks he can just get to everything. But to your point, you want like the center fielder who thinks he can get to everything, you want him to believe that everything is his ball, don't you?
Yep. Yeah, same with the guy in the middle of the order that expects themselves to turn a game around every time they get to the plate, or, you know, say a swung at a 3-0 splitter from Paul Skeens and hit a homer to take the lead. Like, that's abnormal stuff, but it comes from belief and giving yourself a chance to do something special. I thought that was an incredible moment. I don't know if people picked up on that, but you could look. I don't know how the last time anyone hit a 3-0 splitter for a homer is, but it's probably not in the Statcast era.
So Mother's Day is coming up, and we know how strongly you feel about your own mom. You got anything planned?
I'm be in New York, pretty far from California, but definitely send some flowers and be a good son, and in that way, at least do that. But no big plans.
No handmade card. Like, are those days done? Did they ever exist?
Yeah. I write notes. I kind of take the easy way out on the, because then the flowers at the end, they're always like, hey, like, do you want to put a note in?
You're busy.
So it's no, not really. It's just, it's pretty functional, and they do a good job of that. And then they always throw in like chocolate or something too, and they get you.
Wait, so you're not busy? You're not busy? I mean, it's in season.
I mean,
I
have lots of time, but I have things to do every day. But it's kind of just like you guys too, right?
Well, you know, I mean, I got a kid I got to worry about, you know?
Yeah, so you're way busier.
Yeah, I got to take care of Lawrence, you know what I mean?
Yes, because Lord knows I need taken care of.
Lawrence has to take care of me, you know?
Exactly. I got no pets, no kids.
Right there with you.
It's a good setup right now.
It is. It is a pretty good setup. Does your mom have like a favorite flower or something you always make sure the arrangement has?
No, just a lot of color. Springtime, a lot of color. She's got a great garden as is, though. So honestly, she could probably whip something up better. But it's more the thought, I guess.
Yeah, it's just the thought. It's just having a plan. They want to know that you have a plan.
That you care.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, you thought about it.
I do care.
Yeah.
send her the tape.
Wait, we'll send her the tape just to be safe. Absolutely.
Yeah, I care.
Yeah. we talked about having her on, actually, on Mother's Day, you know, or like thereabouts. It's your mom is target number one for the Mother's Day guest list, just so you know.
That's a high honor.
Yeah, take that.
She's got baseball thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Hey, did you see the video of Justin Turner playing three-card Monty? With what were those things? Sean Sears sent it to me. He had like three different containers. One of them had like some change in it or something. Are you hip to what we're talking about, Nico? Did JT get you?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. we'll send it to you.
But like, he's great. He's great for clubhouse shenanigans, so I'm not sure. But yeah,
he is like, I wouldn't have thought that was his lane, but that apparently is his lane a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's always got something going on. He's on the mic on the bus. He's got just good energy. He's a guy who knows how to be a big leaguer. I think that's the best way to put it. He's just very comfortable in a big league clubhouse. And he's been amazing.
Outstanding stuff. Well, Nico, we appreciate you, man. Thanks again for always being available for us. And good luck against the Giants tonight. And keep it rolling on what I think is, this feels like, just walking around, this feels like the nicest day of the year. Like the wind isn't...
Beautiful.
Right.
I was walking around Oz Park this morning. Beautiful day. It's nice out.
That's outstanding. That's a good little park too.
It is.
Anybody?
Oh, it's the best.
Do you bring a glove and a ball just in case some kids recognize you?
No, but there is something like heartwarming about like a little league baseball practice. That's like kind of like, that's what it's actually like. We're still doing that. It's pretty cool.
Damn right. They used to make fun of me for like driving around the city, and if I saw a Little League game, I'd pull over and just watch it. They're like, all right, you're the creepy guy in his car just watching a random Little League game, but there's something really nice about it.
No, it's cool. It's very pure. It's good stuff.
It is. Well, get ready with all your pregame stuff. Thanks again, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Nico.
It's Nico Horner.
He's just a good dude. He's chill. So just so you know, you got a kid, or if you want to play catch with a major leaguer, walk around Oz Park.
Let's maybe not tell people where Nico might or might not be.
Yeah, that's probably true. He said it himself.
He did, but we don't have to then amplify it and tell people, hey, Nico might be here. Bring your baseball card so he can sign them.
No, not the card. Just make him throw, you know? Have a little catch with him.
Maybe babies? Sign babies always out there?
Sure. Throw babies? Whatever.
I don't know if we want to condone throwing babies.
That is a good thing about being a baseball player, though. The anonymity of it. If you're not wearing a cap...
Yeah, people can't tell that that's you often. Yeah, because you're... Yeah, I mean, I doubt he's walking around in full uniform, you know? Probably not.
I would guess not.
I don't know for sure, though. Can we get him back on the line?
Highly unlikely.
Get him back on the line.
Okay, I'll ask him hot back.
Highly unlikely that he's doing that.
Yeah, there's definitely... But football players have even more anonymity, don't they?
With
the helmet?
Yes, comma, but... A lot of football players are big guys.
Yeah, like who's that enormous person?
Nico's a regular sized person.
He is indeed.
He is.
That checks out.
Absolutely the type of person that you're used to seeing and ignoring in Linkin Park. Like if you're just walking around, there's a bunch of Nicos walking around Linkin Park.
It's another guy that looks like Nico. That's right. Big pile of Nikos. What is this thing that's been going around? The 100 gorillas versus one person? That meme that's gone around? Have you seen that?
Yes.
I saw the baseball version of it the other day.
Which is?
100 Don Zimmers versus one Pedro Martinez.
Oh, the Zimmers are winning that.
Oh, my God. Did it make me laugh?
He might get the first.
Throw the first one
down? He might get the first 10 of those guys, but eventually the numbers are going
to. To me, it depends on if the Zimmers are organized or not.
They weren't organized in their meetup with Pedro the first time.
It was reckless abandon. But 100 Zimmers, I'd have to assume that they were in communication with each other, that you know they could stack a couple on top of each other in a trench coat.
Strategy there. That's a good point.
Yeah. So here's my thing about the if we just take the Zimmer-Pedro thing.
Okay.
Is a Zimmer eliminated once he face plants? Does he then disappear?
Yes. Yeah. The goal is to be to face plant 100 Zimmers.
So if we just have Pedro throwing 100 Zimmers down, like once the Zimmer goes down, he's out of the fight.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I'm going to give Pedro a better chance of winning this thing.
Team Pedro on that one, by the way. It may not surprise you knowing me and my background, but still.
Yeah, get out of here.
No, but Zimmer attacked him.
He just attacked him. Like, get out of here, Zim.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, man? I'm involved here. You're a bench coach. Shout out to Don Zimmer, though. And Dan McNeil once told me every baby, at least at one point, looks like Don Zimmer.
I would agree with that.
That checks out. Every single baby that's ever been born has a moment, at least, where they look exactly like Don Zimmer.
I would also say for all of our wrestling fans, the Steiner math on the 100 guys versus the gorillas. And I told Ray last night, if it's 100 Samoa Joes, he's got no chance. He's got zero chance against the gorilla. It's a whole thing.
It is.
Don't worry about it.
I do, though. I want to connect. I want to bond.
Well, it's a little.
I want to be left out.
I want to share Steiner math with you.
Yeah.
But we don't have time. We need to take a break.
Thank God.
But at some point in the show, I will share Steiner math with you.
You'll see how
ridiculous all of that is.
Texter wonders if the face planted Zimmers disintegrate or do they pile up?
I look at it as like a video game.
Right.
Like as soon as they face plant, they're gone.
Dude,
that's the simulation.
If anybody has any suggestions, I have tried to play Super Smash Brothers along with my 13-year-old son, and I don't stand a chance with any character whatsoever. He can be any character at all.
You just need more reps.
I guess.
Speaking of which, when are we doing the Tecmo Bowl thing?
Yeah, we need Marshall and Tecmo, and we need a new play-by-play voice as well.
I can do the play-by-play.
All right, good. You're hired.
Layla can too.
Yeah, either one of you.
Yeah. All right, good.
I'm in.
All right, we're back, baby.
Yeah, I'm not going to duck Marshall.
Tecmo Bowl is back, we think, until Marshall's like, oh, I was at the Kendrick Lamar concert and I hurt my thumb, you know, and then he can't do it.
He's going to start ducking me.
He's been ducking you.
He really has been. I'm glad you're pointing it out. Thank you for being my teammate as opposed to whatever it was when you were trying to point out that I was ducking him.
Well, you were.
See? Now you're back. Come on, man.
I'm waffling.
You're waffling. I gotta be your guy.
I like you and I like him.
Oh no. It's binary. You got one or the other. When it comes to
zero.
That's it. When it comes to this particular battle, you must pick a side. Make sure it's me.
I pick QB Eagles. That's who I pick.
Yeah, understandably so.
When we come back, we're gonna do sexy baseball. Nico alluded to it, and we're gonna do it next on The Score.